Today's just number one talk session, 99.3 Nigeria, Info Lagos. A very lovely morning to you. On Monday, we discussed the Constitution Amendment Bill. Well, the bills now act because the president assented to them about 2 weeks ago. And we extracted some of the bills, but then we left out one in particular because of the nature of that particular bill, and that is moving from exclusive to concurrent list the operation, ownership, management of correctional facilities, custodial centers across the country to states. So now, with the president signing that bill, it means that your state now will take ownership of the prison facilities, the correctional centers in your states. Now, we want to look at what this means for prisoners' rehabilitation, for the rehabilitation of the inmates, whether it means really what the name implies now, correctional, or whether some state may have the ability to actually make this happen, or maybe some states are not really that strong to effect this particular, to bring this particular bill, you know, home. But let's talk about it very quickly. And if you'd like to jump on this conversation, just pay attention very closely. I have joining me on the show this morning, Aladesomi Joke, who is the founder and executive director of the Center for Legal Support and Inmate Rehabilitation, CELSA. Joke is a criminal defense attorney with over 11 years of experience. A passion, really, for criminal justice reform developed while working with the Legal Defense and Assistance Project LEDAP, where she had the opportunity to represent over 100 accused persons and victims of human rights violation. Her organization, CELSA, has done quite tremendous work when it comes to prisoners, you know, reform, helping prisoners reintegrate back into the society, helping them even start learning how to get reintegrated properly into society right from the correctional facilities, right from there, before they even, you know, get out. By the time they get out, they also help them to settle down and settle into the society pretty well. Joke, thank you so much for joining me on the show this morning.
Thank you, Sheriff. It's always a pleasure to join you, actually, and to have conversations regarding the prison with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's start with how you received that news that the president signed the movement of the correctional facilities from the exclusive to the concurrent list. How did you receive that news?
Well, I would say it was actually a very good news, and I was really excited about it, like as well as, you know, my team and other non-governmental organizations that work in this space. And that's because that's a major issue that we've been clamoring for quite a while. There's been demand for matters relating to the prison being moved from the exclusive list to the concurrent list, you know, where the state government can start taking part in how to ensure that our prison systems are really functional. So I would say is a right step, is a step in the right direction, and I was so excited about it.
So what comes to mind with the excitement is simply that the central government has not done a really good job when it comes to correctional facilities, maintenance and operations. What's your thought on that?
Oh yeah, like it's you know, let's even start by talking about the population of the prison.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, the population of the prison as we speak is over 70,000 people. So the prison, the correctional facilities right now holds over 70,000 people. And you would agree with me that for the federal government to be able to handle that effectively, it's going to be highly challenging. You know, I want to draw your attention back to a particular comment that the Minister of Interior made last year when he mentioned that over 90% of incarcerated individuals are state offenders. So it's like you have the facility largely occupied by state offenders, but the federal government carries this solely in terms of funding, in terms of staffing and all of that. So having to get the state involved is actually the way forward to ensure that we're effectively making our prisons and the correctional facilities what they should be.
I know we have a lot of grounds to cover this morning, but I'm just going to make it very short, and I kind of appreciate the fact that you're making the responses very short as well. So let's go to state. Do you think all the states in Nigeria are viable to be able to effectively manage the prisons being, ownership of the prisons being transferred to them right now? Or most of the states will still repeat what the federal government has been doing over time. Do we have all the states viable to operate the prisons?
You know, when we're talking about this change, this significant change from the exclusive list to the concurrent list, and like I said, a major player of that responsibility is the state government. Mm-hmm. And when we're looking at that, we're talking about funding. Mm-hmm. So the question now is, are the states actually, do all the states have that that capacity, mm-hmm. basically, to be able to fund this reforms or to be able to fund this change that has happened, that has just occurred. Yeah. And the truth is, we know for a fact that a lot of the states are not ready. Hmm. But it is always better for the opportunities to be there. The states are not ready with regards to funding. Of course, you cannot compare a state like Lagos State to other states. Hmm. When you're talking about prisons, some of the states that have the most challenges are the urban cities. You know, when you're talking about Lagos, you're talking about Port Harcourt, you're talking about Kano, you're talking about Abuja, they have large numbers of incarcerated persons.
Okay.
You know, and then you cannot now talk about those other states that do not have as much capacity as lot of the states have. Hmm. And let me also quickly mention that the fact that this matter has been moved from the exclusive list to the concurrent list does not take away the federal government outrightly.
Okay.
What that simply means is that the state now has power to make laws that relate to, and now has power to make laws that affects the prison as well. Hmm. So the federal government is definitely still going to be playing their part, but of course now they are working together with the state government to ensure that the prison is actually being reformed in line with international standards and best practices.
I mean, I'm glad you mentioned states, now having the power to make laws. And one of those laws, I suppose some people will be thinking now, is the laws to grant private investors the opportunity to build and operate prisons. Do you think some states should look into this direction?
Oh, of course. That's a major thing that needs to be.
Are we ready for such?
Well, I would not say we're adequately ready for it, but at least, like I said earlier, we are on the path to it. Let's even, at this stage right now, it has moved from the exclusive to concurrent. Mm-hmm. Good progress.
Yeah.
And from this stage, we can now start talking about the privatization of the correctional facility, because it's a major part. Mm-hmm. I was reading a report some days ago, and I saw a part where it says that incarcerated workers contributed almost like $11 billion to the American GDP. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about just developed countries. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine what we can start seeing, or what the progress that it can bring to the correctional facilities in Nigeria. Because when we're talking about funding, we have to look at, even if they get the funding now, how can they sustain it?
Right.
It's not a project you embark on and then you move out of it on the long run. So how can you ensure that these things are, the correctional facilities are able to make this progress, make these changes, and still be able to sustain themselves? Hmm. So privatization of the prison is one major aspect. You know, the government has an interesting approach when it comes to prison, and even not just the government, even the society. You know, there's this mindset of, they are more like the rejected people. Why would I really want to sweat on quote unquote criminals, right? Talk less of other pressing issues that are happening around. Mm. But by the time they start looking at the importance and the opportunities that can come from there, while also bearing in mind the rights of the workers, while also bearing it. So we're not saying privatize, we're not saying generate revenue while you're breaching the rights of the incarcerated persons.
Right.
I know we also have to bear in mind that this also goes to the root of rehabilitation.
Mm.
It goes to the root of rehabilitation, which is the major purpose for a correctional service in the first place. You know, if you have a correctional center where there is no adequate preparation or adequate resources for rehabilitation,
right.
Like I always say, we keep going round the circle.
Indeed.
So by the time we're looking at privatization, we're looking at revenue generation, we're looking at, we are also taking a deeper look at rehabilitation, where the incarcerated individuals are thinking about, you know, you're building them to be responsible, to be accountable. Mm. Because, of course, they are just going to be like any other workers, and with emphasis on their rights being protected.
Mm.
So yes, privatization is something that the state really needs to start considering. If not, they might be blown by the burden of the responsibility.
Right.
What I mean by that is, okay, they now have to fund, they now have to do this, they now have to do that. But if you start looking at the fact that this change can actually contribute significantly, because we need to bear in mind, more than 70% of the prison population are people between the age of 18 and 40. These are young people.
That's right.
That are still very able. A lot of them are educated, as a matter of fact. You know, some persons might just think that the people you have behind bars are maybe some illiterates or people, uneducated people. Or no, they are they, as a matter of fact, there are people who are actually very smart. Mm. They are qualified. They are professionals in there. Mm. And there is a lot they can bring to the table.
Right.
If you permit me, so I was going to actually make reference to, you know, one of the trainings we had for the individuals. Just I think we ended it last week Thursday.
Okay.
And the facilitators, it was actually a virtual, it was a creative writing workshop for incarcerated persons.
Okay.
And the facilitators were so amazed at the contributions they were getting from these people.
Hmm.
So these are minds that can still do great work. So why give up on them?
Indeed. I mean, that's a very good question. That should carry a gigantic question mark, giving up on them. And that brings me to the other side of this conversation, which is still with the inmates themselves. So you've done great work in making sure that, you know, inmates are properly reintegrated back into society by first brushing them up from the prisons, helping them get the necessary tools. I know that you also have some mobile library that you have.
Take
to prisons. And you have series of programs like that. So tell me, if we're to move the prisons, well, we will move the prisons to states now. If we're
that's
to
move
now that states have this, do you think that prisoners can better be catered to before the anticipated privatization moves? Will prisoners be better catered to by state government now? You know, you mentioned something earlier about 70,000 prisons. That's huge. But if we decide to disaggregate all of these numbers and spread them to states, every state now know, you know, what belongs to them. Will that improve the welfare of prisoners from this new development?
Of course, it's definitely going to improve the welfare and the well-being of inmates, because you can't compare having to monitor over 70,000 people than monitoring 2,015 population. So definitely you're going to see some much more better moves that would affect the well-being and the welfare of the inmates. Mm. You know, because now the resources that you have is just, you're concentrating it to the population within your jurisdiction and not just the country as a whole. So of course there will be more concentration on things that pertains to them from their well-being. And that's also one thing I want to make mention of. You know, as a result of this development, like I earlier said, the states can now make laws.
Mm.
So when they are making the laws, they have to bear in mind some of the challenges that the federal government has gone through. The issue of congestion, how can they address it? So it's not just enough to say, it has now been moved.
Mm.
What changes can be made that can affect that sector?
Indeed.
So that we don't find ourselves in the mistake that the federal government, or in the issues that it's actually been faced, you know, by the federal government holding it, you know, legislating on it only. So now we are looking at how can things be better in terms of how can we address the issue of congestion, especially for the urban cities?
Mm.
You know, how can we address the issue of rehabilitation? How can we monitor reintegration? So, of course, it's not going to be as difficult as when you have the federal government having to look at every corners of every corners and every zones of the correctional centers and the correctional service.
Right.
There is actually great need for that. And it's something that will definitely get better.
Another thing that I'm wondering whether this will have impact on or not, Adejoke, and I want you to come with me on this one, is the issue of what do they call this thing? Awaiting trials. Will there be an impact on that situation? I mean, now that states will now take ownership and they know that they have limited space in their facilities across their states, is that something that states should look into?
Yes, so that flows from what I said earlier, right? You know, having to look at what are the loopholes, what are the challenges that has happened over time, and what solutions can we be bringing to the table? What can we be looking at to resolve this issue? And with regards to our waiting trial, that has been one of our problems from days immemorial, far away, right? And from the latest report, you're having over 70% of people are waiting trial. So now, when the states are making their own laws, it's time to start looking at it. What can we do to ensure that this is not this does not continue? Mm. How can we expand the non-custodian measures to ensure that there's an alternative for imprisonment and not just bringing people and dumping it? I personally feel that this would bring a lot of would take us more in depthly into the issues of prison reforms, mm-hmm. and also clarify the responsibilities of the state government. Because now, when you know that if there's congestion,
yeah.
that's going to be more burden on your finances, that's yeah. going to be more burden on the budget and all of those things, mm-hmm. you will take adequate steps to ensure that, you know, it's controlled and the prison is not just congested. So definitely, yes, mm. that change is going to come up over time.
Mm. Over time, indeed. Adejoke Alade Somi joins us this morning. She's Executive Director of Center for Legal Support and Image Rehabilitation, CELSA. We're going to take a few calls, Joke, right now. Let's get some input All in, right. especially for those who are really interested in this particular conversation. Feel free to join the conversation this morning, Lagos. Let's talk about this very quickly. And please go straight to the point. Would appreciate that. Time management is everything on this program. Please, thank you. Oshego. 01-277-0993. 277-1993, 277-2993, and 277-3993. Good morning. Yes, please. Good morning to you. Yes, please.
This is Rita from Lagos.
Welcome, Rita.
My question is this. Yeah, I agree that it should be shifted to the state. But some ferries, you see that the state, maybe the state governor will go like to the prison visiting them and maybe ask those taking care of them to relieve some amount of prisoners, those who have spent maybe some years there.
Hmm.
And Sheriff, I'm talking from experience. I've noticed it and I've seen it. And when, like, this present governor, now Governor Sanwo-Olu, went to the prison and released about 100 and something prisoners into the society, how sure that those people have been trained, as in teach them to come back?
Have been reformed.
You don't leave them like that, Sheriff. Hmm. And they come to the, some of them will come again and do another offense or whatever in the society again. So how sure that this thing is not going to occur regularly into the society? Thank you.
Rita, you've really very, very valid concern. But let's quickly bring in Demola from Lekki. Demola, hi. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Go on, Demola, we can hear you.
Hello?
We can hear you, please.
Okay. Good morning. I want to contribute concerning the first of the day.
Go on, Demola, go on.
Okay, thank you very much. Actually, we don't really need to pronounce or making a lot of publicity about the subsidy of the removal.
No, we're not talking about subsidy, Demola. You're not listening to your radio. Well, thanks for trying, though. Let me take this call very quickly. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, my name is Olajide Abiodun.
You're welcome, sir.
Yeah, my quick contribution is that with respect to awaiting trials, it has to do more with the administration of criminal justice law in that state.
Mm.
It is not every defendant that the courts should send to prison pending the determination of the DPP's advice. Someone was arraigned for stealing something worth 5,000 naira. And has been remanded in prison for over 7 years without trial. I am a legal practitioner and I see these things all the time.
Mm.
So once we can empower the courts, the magistrates, the judges, to commit those defendants to reasonable and respectable person in the society, until the trial is being spent, or to commit them to community services rather than sending them to the prison.
Mm.
So that is my own contribution with respect to that aspect.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Let's start, Adejoke, let's start from the last contributor. What's your thought on that?
Yes, so, you know, that's the contribution is so apt, and, you know, I earlier mentioned that there would now be proper need to start looking at non-custodian measures.
Yes, you said
beyond
that.
Alternative to imprisonment, and that starts by, of course, the implementation of the admission of criminal justice law, which is already in existence, right?
Okay.
But now the movement of the change in this of moving the prison-related issues from exclusive to concurrent will further strengthen that as a matter of fact.
Right.
Because now the responsibility, the state now has much more responsibility. Fine, the laws are already in place, right? Instead of community, instead of imprisonment, why not look at community service?
Mm.
And just like the example that the caller put through, for an accused person who was actually accused of taking something worth 5,000 naira, and then the person has to be in prison and is awaiting trial for years upon years, you're automatically doing much more damage than much more good.
Hmm.
But of course, if they remand them in prison, the responsibility is still on the federal government. I mean, prior to now.
Yeah.
But when the state is now aware, the more persons you allow within your facility, the more pressure. On your budget, your finances, and all of that.
Mm.
So beyond the laws, states are now going to have that responsibility of ensuring the implementation of the existing laws that are already there.
Okay.
While in prison, when there can be community service, the provision for provisional services and all of those things.
Okay.
How can we ensure this aspect of the law have been implemented and they're actually effective? You know, so those are the things that the states would have to bear in mind and to ensure that the changes is actually bringing the reform that we want to see.
Let's go to break. When we return, Joker. Okay, you'll be answering this question by Rita about arbitrary release of prisoners without being sure of they've been properly reformed. Lagos, you're welcome if you're just tuning in. It's a very good conversation we're having this morning. But we'll take this short break. When we return, we'll talk some more. Stay with us, please.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. If you're just tuning in, you're welcome. We're discussing constitutional amendment. To be very specific, we're talking about the movement from the exclusive list to the concurrent list, prisons, correctional facilities. That's our focus this morning. So states now have ownership. They've taken ownership of correctional facilities in their domain. And then we're looking at all the available angles to that story, and we're banking on you to even bring up other available angles that we may not be able to touch as we go on along with our conversation. So feel free to jump in. Adejoke Aladisomi is my guest this morning. She is the executive director of Center for Legal Support and Inmate Rehabilitation Services, an NGO that deals with providing legal support for inmates free of charge. Joker, thank you again for giving us your time this morning to join us.
Thank you very much, Barry.
Now, let's quickly go to... We'll come to the telephone lines. Lagos, we can see your calls. Just give us a moment. Let's take this call from Rita, who called in earlier about a particular situation she painted. The governor going to prisons, and I don't know if that happened, really. Because I know that the state attorney general will be the ones to do all of those things. But I'm not exactly sure the governor can just walk into prison and release people. But she's mainly concerned about if the prisons now belongs to states, the potential, situation where the governors can arbitrarily release prisoners. Or even the state attorney general, in any case, can release prisoners into the society without a confirmation of them being reformed in any way.
Yes, so that question, I'm really so excited about that question, because that has always been our argument. You know, there's this practice of saying, the released over 20 persons from the prison. There's always every now and then, you're always talking about some kind of release, right? In as much as this is a good thing, because of course it will reduce the numbers. But one of the things we have always argued as an organization is that we need to understand that the needs of incarcerated people goes beyond just freedom. What's preparation? You can't just say you're making release, you're bringing people out. Oh, we just released how many persons, when there is no adequate preparation. Because the truth remains that even the society, just the way Rita brought up a question, a lot of people are worried about that as well. What's the state of these people coming out? What's going to happen? These numbers coming out and all of all those things. And the truth remains that once the state starts acting in new developments, start making laws, we're going to definitely be seeing more of these releases. But what we are saying is it shouldn't just end there. And that's why we're saying there should be adequate preparation, adequate resources for rehabilitation within our correctional facility. I'm sure that if someone like Rita is aware of the progress and of the things that happens at correctional facilities, if he's aware of the skills, the skills acquisition, the training, the education programs, and all those things, maybe our worry will be minimized, you know. So there is need for adequate availability of rehabilitation resources. There is need for reintegration provisions. To be frank, let's even ask the question, how many incarcerated persons have been monitored after release? We need to start looking at that as well. And they face serious challenges. I can tell you, we work them, Sheriff. We have them. They work with us in our organization. We have them all around us. We go inside there. We have conversations with them. A lot of them are even scared of coming out. You know, and then when they come out, there is no assistance from anybody, no assistance from government. Well, you might feel like, why would government assist somebody who has been accused of committing a crime? But what you need to bear in mind as a citizen, as a citizen and a member of society, is that these same people, once they come out, their chances automatically get slimmer. Just a few minutes ago, I was speaking with one of our advisory board member, and I told her that we presently have a client who was accused, and then she was remanded, and she was the matter was struck out and was discharged. Before she got into the prison, she had finished her final year. She was getting ready to write. She was getting ready to go for NYC, and immediately she came back. I told her, go back to your school, put your documents together, and go for NYC. Your matter has been struck out, but the school has said they don't want to see her. She has spelled the name of the school, and I'm like, she's not convicted. So these are part of the consequences of incarceration. It's not enough to just say you want to bring. Okay, now she's out. She's battling with the issue of her education. And this is a young lady of 22 years old. She's battling with the issues of her education. So we need to be so particular beyond just bringing them out. And the government has to bear this in mind. Reintegration is as important as incarceration. Reintegration is as important. The criminal justice system does not just end behind bars. It doesn't just end in prison. It goes far beyond there. So we need to start looking at what happens to their life. And that's why when you look at developed countries, you have probation officers, you have social
workers, effective departments
that watch the growth of these people and they gradually adjust into the society. Do we have an effective body like that in this country? Because the truth is, you cannot outrightly push away this part of the society. You can't, whether you like it or not. Study has shown that 95% of incarcerated individuals will eventually come back to the prison. We eventually come back to the society, whether you like it or not. So that person you feel has committed one very big offense and was sentenced to 30 years. If the person is 20 years, the person will still eventually come out if the person doesn't die there. So you have these people coming out. What preparation?
Joker, check your mic. I think... some people have touched your mic. We can't hear you again. Then you can. Yes,
can
we can. Yeah, okay. I know that you did not touch it because I can see you. You did not touch the mic. But now we can hear you. It's some people that touched it.
I can't hear you.
You can't hear me too. Aha, you see? They've touched my own mic too. Let me see if my... Tunde, let's check my mic. I don't know what's happening. Let's check my mic and see. Can you hear me now?
You can hear me, just send a message. I can't hear you anymore.
Okay, don't worry. Just hang in there. Tunde would fix it. So we can just hang in there. Don't worry. It'll be fixed so we can hear you now. There must be some hiccup. Her microphone got seized. Mine got seized. Now hers has been released. We're yet to get ours sorted. Once we get
that, fantastic!
Tunde has done the magic. Good. Some people, they don't want us to talk. That's how Nigerians think. I mean,
I'm sure they are thinking, people are talking about prison. It's not too important. They are very important.
So you're talking about 95% of people who who go into the prison eventually will come out.
They will eventually come out. So, the criminal justice system, like I said, does not end behind bars. It goes beyond there. There's a reason why developed countries make arrangements for post-incarceration interventions. And we need to start looking at that. If not, we will keep doing more harm to the society. You might think you don't have any business with somebody who is in the prison. But sorry, like I always say on your show, Sheriff, something minor can actually make you find yourself there. Heard of cases of medical doctors in the facilities. We've had cases of lawyers in the facilities. We've had cases of different professionals in the facilities that are actually presently being remanded. So there is nothing like, okay, it's none of my business. But the truth is, you need to also look at, you need to look at it from the aspect of public safety. When you have people come out, they don't have where to go. They don't have where to, they don't have work to do. They don't have anything. They would, survival is just, it's inevitable. They have to survive. And while I'm not trying to make an excuse, I'm just trying to state the reality of things. And you cannot talk about the extent of what that can be. So the government needs to start looking beyond just releasing. Their need goes beyond release. Can they receive the adequate support when they are out? They are as important as every other. Going into the prison does not rob you of your citizenship. It doesn't. You're still a Nigerian citizen. So once you come out, the government is also responsible for you with the same way it's responsible for every other individual that is working in freedom. So there's need to make that adequate preparation to ensure that that aspect is fully covered within our prisons. And now this is where the responsibility of the state government should come in.
Right.
When you're making your laws, can you put clear measures in terms of rehabilitation? Can you look at the issue of rehabilitation beyond just mentioning it? Can you look at the issue of reformation beyond just mentioning it? Can you look at reintegration? Which committee do we need to set? Which board do we need to arrange? Which people do we need to raise to ensure that there is an holistic holistic service that is being provided in this sector? Until then, I would say we're actually not ready. So it goes beyond release. It goes far beyond release.
Indeed. And it's my belief and my hope that state governments right now are putting together the brightest of minds when it comes to this aspect. And they are drawing up action plan and all of those things before they finally start operating the correctional facilities. Let's go back to telephone lines, because I want us to talk about the National Open University's announcement of inmates who will be graduating with this set that they are doing graduation for. That will be our next convo, a conversation rather. So let's take a few calls before we get to that point. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning.
We can hear you, sir. Good morning.
Okay, thank you so much. So I have two things to contribute. One is a question, one is a suggestion. So my question is, we have people that will manage these prisons. Would they see beyond that state or federal in terms of remuneration? So my suggestion is, can we copy some models used in other countries like China? Prisoners are used for manual labors. If, for example, there's a contract, you want a contract to construct a road, state road or rail. Chinese, what they do, they use prisoners to do those jobs. So paying for labor now is out of the project.
Okay.
So the prisoners will pay, they'll pay their stipends, you know, but most of the labor costs will be taken away because they're using their prisoners. We have lands in Nigeria. Can't we use our prisoners and have mechanized farming? Build hostels in those lands and have them work in those lands, and they will learn mechanized farming. The produce will be sold. They will make money. They will have their, they will have them paid there. They will even pay the prisoners the allowances. And with this, once they come out, it will not be difficult for them to be fit into the society. We have tech. We have prisoners. They will start teaching them how to prepare phones, coding. There's a lot of things they can do. The female prisoners are going to sewing. Create big factory for them to sew. Instead of putting them somewhere, have them in a big place, have factory for them. They will be making cotton farms. I don't know why we spend money on prisoners, why they can make money for us as well.
That's right.
All these roads we are constructing in Nigeria. We use prisoners to do all those jobs with Julius Vegas and Co. Why do we have them there? Why do we have roads? Look at our gutters. Look at our dustbins. Use prisoners to do this job, and they will
community
pay their
service.
Defense.
Right.
Thank you
too. Jake, I think you mentioned this earlier, twice already, sir.
Yes, I mentioned that. And, you know, that just talks more about the privatization and the revenue generation of the correctional facility.
Yeah.
But I also want to quickly mention, and if possible correct, that we must beware of modern slavery. In as much as we want these people to work, we don't intend to turn them into slaves. So if we're talking about revenue revenue generation, and we're talking about privatization, and then the you know, to make our correctional service to be able to generate its own fund and all of that,
right.
We also have to look at not stipends. It's not just when you're saying stipends, it means you're just working and then just
give them something.
You're just dashing them. No, the labor law is also applicable to them. So the thing is, if you, it's good for us to start talking about privatization. Yes, it is highly, it's a major thing right now. It's very important to start talking about the issue of revenue generation. Yes, it is. But side by side, we also have to talk about the rights of this incarcerated individual. Bear in mind that over 70% of them are awaiting trial, meaning they are not convicts. So if you're saying that you should just carry them out and go and be working and then give them stipends, you're already condemning the person that is awaiting justice, the person that is awaiting to prove they are innocent, the person that is waiting for them to be released. So if we have the idea of generating funds, we also have to ensure that in the midst of this, we are preventing modern slavery, and we are paying them for the work they are doing and not just giving stipends or just dashing them money. I just needed to correct that.
Right, indeed. Now, let's talk about the schooling, the graduation of about 58 inmates across the correctional centers. They will be graduating from the National Open University of Nigeria. You've worked with several inmates before. How do you feel?
I feel so excited, actually. You know, the education, prison education has been one of our, has been a very strong aspect of our work. We are so deliberate about it, and we provide it from different direction, right? One of the things we do, we provide virtual learning program where we prepare them for examinations that are written behind bars, the general certificate examinations. We register them for exams. We provide trainings, skills trainings and all of us. So we are very, very big on education. As a matter of fact, as an organization, we tell you we're changing the lives of incarcerated persons through legal support, education, vocational training and life skills. So it's very big for us. And we're excited with the graduation, you know, with regards to the National Open University and all of that. I would personally say that that's one of the best things that the government has done when it comes to prison reform, you know, giving them the opportunity to be able to join others through the National Open University route, take courses and graduate from those courses is encouraging. There are a lot of our beneficiaries right now. You know, I don't know if I've ever mentioned to you, Sheriff, that as of last year, we actually had one of our beneficiaries that scored 313 in JAMB.
No way.
So I'm telling you, 313. I was there some days ago, and then I was amazed at their results. So they have very brilliant minds. And so creating that opportunity, we allow them to, you know, to keep advancing themselves, building their confidence, start seeing the good about themselves and contributing significantly to the society.
Joker, you know what we're going to do? We're going to leave it here. I'm still going to have to bring you back because I need for us to talk about, you know, what the role of NGOs in this space would be in the journey ahead for states taking over correctional facilities. Because I'd like to know the roles, whether, you know, you will be playing major role. I mean, yourself and other colleagues in the NGO space, major role in the reforms of the prisons. Thank you so much, Joker Adesomi, for joining me on the show. This morning, Joker has been great when it comes to discussing prisons and prisoners' rights. And I must say that anytime we call on her, she is very, very quick to come give us her thought. She's Executive Director of Center for Legal Support and Inmate Rehabilitation, CELSA. Joker, again, it's a pleasure. It was good having you around.
Thank you so much, Sheriff. Always a pleasure.
Yep. Lagos, that's our show today. Thank you all for being a part of the Morning Crossfire. We're going to continue with this conversation much later on because I am passionate about reformation of inmates, and because I want to see people, you know, change from their ways, especially those that are not even that are suspects, that are just awaiting trial in prisons for God knows how many years. I think we don't talk about them as much as we should. But hey, we'll continue to drive this conversation as we deem fit. Well, before I go, though, let me say happy, big happy birthday to Emmanuel Uwole, the head of admin here in Nigeria Info. We love you, bro. guy is so hardworking. We call him Jackie. He can work like anything. Emmanuel Iwole, happy birthday to you. We love you. And Wifey says happy birthday to you as well. Everybody here in Nigeria Info wishes you a very, very lovely birthday as you add 1 year to your age. I'm Sheriff Quadri across all social media platforms. So tomorrow, there's a slight change of plan for tomorrow. Tomorrow we're supposed to talk about infidelity traumatic disorder or something like that. Yeah, when you're cheated on, or when you cheat on something, yeah, that's traumatizing effect. It's actually a thing. Yeah, I was always talking about it tomorrow, but then there's a slight change. We'll talk about it next week, because tomorrow let's talk about our teeth. So we're bringing a dentist into the studio talking about the thing, because I'm very so lately I've been doing a lot of research about teeth and taking care of teeth. I never really paid attention to it before because I've not really had an issue with my teeth. But lately, my mind has been going there. So we'll talk about teeth tomorrow. If you got questions about your teeth, you have issues with your teeth, tomorrow will be a perfect time to bring that conversation to the radio with our doctor guest on the show. So I'll see you tomorrow at 5, because that's when we actually start the show, Morning Crossfire, 5 a.m. with the lead. Bye-bye, Lagos. I'll be back tomorrow.